Yeah, sorry for stalling the program for 60 seconds, but this is a worthwhile minute because we are in our year-end match-giving campaign, which is so crucial for the health of this and, frankly, every other ministry. To enter 2026 strong, to go to 12 university campuses to publish books, more podcasts, and we've got two brand new podcasts coming out in 2026. They are going to just blow up. In other words, we're going to reach more people with the gospel, but we need gospel partners. We can't do this without you. And so it is, I would like to invite you, if you're already supporting your local church and you have discretionary funds and you would like to support an evangelistic ministry, please consider us at Fortis Institute. You can learn about everything that we do, and we do a lot. When you visit fortisinstitute.org/donate, and thank you.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's a trendy thing.
Oh, indeed. Indeed it is. This is Wretched Radio. To which trend is Dr. John MacArthur referring? Annihilationism. It's all the rage these days on the internet. Jimmy, I was going to say the conversation is hot, 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 but that doesn't quite seem appropriate. Kirk Cameron expressing his evolving views on the understanding of the eternality of hell, stating at this point he's more of a conditionalist / annihilationist, which, because of his celebrity, has caused a lot of people, fair enough, we'll have the conversation, to discuss the eternality of hell. Is it eternal, or do people ultimately get snuffed out? Received an email from 2022, from Down Under. Specific, it was June 24th, 2022, from a buddy of mine, Andrew Walkington. He's an evangelist in the land of Oz. Todd, I don't know whether you're seeing this one in your neck of the woods, but the annihilationist ideas are gaining momentum here in some scary ways. There are a number of fairly influential apologists who are starting to promote the ideas. They're clever enough with their interpretation of Scripture, and the idea looks very credible from some angles, and it takes a fairly strong knowledge of Scripture to refute it. I suspect that the overwhelming majority of Bible believers would be unqualified to respond with a solid enough argument. This could be one of the next big challenges for the evangelical church and gospel proclamation. I'm not really good at math, but that was over 3 years ago. I can't recall exactly when we did a more thorough treatment on the doctrine of hell, but Jimmy, I don't know if you can search for it. It seems to me that we talked about it. There was somebody wrote a book in the States that was pretty popular, and we responded to it at the time. And I think that because of the current controversy, it's worth giving a listen to Dr. John MacArthur, who explains just why it is that he continued to hold on to the traditional view of eternal conscious torment, and how to go about the business of responding to somebody who says they're a conditionalist / annihilationist. We do need to understand our Bibles. I think as much as understanding our Bibles, honestly, we need to understand hermeneutics. If we don't know how to go about the business of interpreting Bible verses when you've got two competing views on really some of the same verses, well, we're going to be chasing our tails for a long time. Just produced a video about this. It'll be on the YouTube machine where I spend time talking about the analogy of Scripture, how the clear interprets the unclear. I think it will be helpful. But so too, we kind of said the same things in a way. He just says it a lot better than I do. Dr. John MacArthur explained understanding the semantic range of words. Because annihilationists are not without Bible verses. It's not like they're just going, well, we don't like it, so we're going to just change it. No, they bring Bible verses to the party. The question, of course, is how do we interpret those verses?
It's a trendy thing. It's a popular idea. Some most remarkably useful, blessed, effective, capable teachers of the Bible have lapsed into annihilationism.
Thought that was an interesting setup, that there are some very fine, capable teachers who have reimagined the doctrine of hell and concluded conditionalism is it. I don't want to put words into Dr. John MacArthur's mouth, but he didn't call them heretics. He just called them wrong. And so when we engage in an issue like this, where there is a difference of opinion, then we should be able to do it in a brotherly kind of fashion.
Or as it's sometimes called, soul sleep. It's the popular idea because it feels comfortable and it feels fair to the people who make a case for it. Now, how do they make their case? How do you make a case for unbelievers just being obliterated, exterminated, wiped out forever? Their first argument comes from the verse I read you in Matthew 10, verse 28. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. They tend to go there, and they like that word, destroy. All right? They want to use that word, destroy. Stick with me, because it's going to be helpful to you. That's a Greek word, apolemi.
It's funny to hear John MacArthur make that statement. Just hang in there with me. It's a way of saying this is a wee bit complicated. It perhaps is going to sound a little bit esoteric. Hang in there with me. And he's right. It absolutely is worth it. What does the word destroy mean?
Apolemy. That may sound a little bit familiar in your ear, because in Revelation 9:11, Satan is given the name Apollyon, the destroyer. Apolemy is the word to destroy. But it is not its only meaning. That's not the only possibility. But they say that word says that the ones who are under the judgment of God will be destroyed, both soul and body, in hell. So that they would go to hell and then be wiped out and exterminated, annihilated forever. Non-existence. Is that the correct understanding of that word? Fortunately, we have that word 80 times in the New Testament. So we get a good breadth of understanding about how the verb apolemi is used.
That is so helpful. When you're debating a word, the first place you want to do a word study, but there's always a semantic range to every single word. The question is, of course, which one of those words best reflects what the author was intending to say. And I think the second step then is, all right, how is it used by that author? Start with that author first. What's his practice? If, for instance, let's just say the guy used the word 100 times, and you're debating one of those usages, and 99 times he uses the word the same way. Pretty safe. He's using it that way the 100th time. We let the author help us determine what is the exact meaning of that particular word. Then you go to the entire New Testament. Then you can go to the entire Bible. You have to study what the Bible says about the use of that word.
It has very broad meaning. In Matthew 2:13, it is the word used where it says in that verse, Herod desired to destroy the baby. Herod wasn't thinking about soul annihilation. He was thinking about murder. In Matthew 8:25, in the immediate danger of the storm, the disciples are afraid. and they are afraid of drowning. So in Matthew 8, 25, the word apolemy has to do with drowning. In Luke 5:37, we hear a parable from Jesus about putting new wine in old wineskins, and the wineskins crack and break. And that's the same verb, apolemy, ruined wineskins. In Luke 15, it's used three times to speak of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. So the word can mean to kill, to drown, to render useless, such as the case of wineskins, or to be lost. John 6:27, there's a statement about food that perishes, and that is it's the word apolemy, perishables, food that is corrupted and useless. In John 17:12, our Lord says, none of those that you have given to me, Father, have perished, but the son of perdition. Judas perished. Did he go out of existence? No. Jesus said he went not out of existence, but he went to his own place. He went to his own place. Here's one. Some of you can experience this personally. I know I can. Luke 21 is referring to the loss of hair. Yes, Austin, you can deal with that, can't you? And I have a witness. In Acts 8:20, you remember the confrontation between Peter and Simon the magician. And Simon is trying to buy the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, may your money perish with you. Romans 14:15, do not destroy with food the one for whom Christ died.
Has the point been sufficiently made? There's a semantic range to the word destroy. The question, of course, is when God describes hell being a place of destruction, is it a place of obliteration, or do we choose one of these other words from the semantic range of the meaning of that word? How do you make that decision so that you can rightly understand the doctrine of hell? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had three campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like I said, 4 years ago, this is Wretched Radio. It appears that Jimmy, in scouring the archives, it was 4 years ago, courtesy of Bart Ehrman, who wrote a Times article, New York Times or Time Magazine?
Time Magazine.
Time Magazine article about the doctrine of hell. And Bart Ehrman, of course, no Christian is he. In fact, he spends his days and makes a living warring against Jesus Christ, despite the fact, I think he's a Moody grad, if I'm not mistaken. The Trinity, perhaps, an evangelical school, doesn't believe in the Lord, and so he has been warring against his former Savior. And writing about the doctrine of hell in the year 2021, we responded to just lay out why the Bible, in my estimation, is emphatic. Hell is eternal. Dr. John MacArthur, he shares that view. And we're listening to this from 4 years. Oh, look at that. 4 years ago. Well, maybe he was responding to Bart Ehrman too. I don't know. We'll have to ask him when we see him. And he's laying out the semantic range of the word destroy. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. What does that word destroy mean? And John MacArthur, he took about 5 minutes to work through all of the Bible verses that you know, and you would say, well, it doesn't mean obliterate. The word destroy has a semantic range that from everything from loss of hair to loss of fortune and to loss of life, but it doesn't mean obliteration. It typically means ruin or loss. So we need to understand that word destroy, it has a broad meaning. So the question then, in the context of the verses that the annihilationist would use, does it mean to obliterate? And I think the answer is it can't, for a number of reasons. And number one is, it would contradict the clear verses in Scripture that I think are emphatic and they are insurmountable, that hell is eternal. If you go find our YouTube video, you can see that presentation where I lay out some of the verses that are so clear. You can't say, well, in that instance, the word everlasting means just for like a couple thousand years or a shorter period of time. You just can't overcome those words because the text is so clear, so emphatic. And with that in mind, I take those clear verses and now I look at the verses that our conditionalist friends would offer and say, can I understand that word to mean something besides obliteration? And the answer is, oh, very easily. Very, very easily. That's precisely what Dr. John MacArthur is about to do.
So it is possible to translate the word destroy, but it is not the word for annihilation, obliteration, non-existence. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, Scripture calls hell the unquenchable fire. So Matthew 10:38, fear the one who destroys both soul and body in hell. It is an unquenchable fire. And it doesn't go out because it always has fuel. In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 9, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will drink of the wine of the wrath of God mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, eternal smoke and no rest day and night forever. So you can't make a case out of the word apolemy used in Matthew 10:28. So they try to go to another word. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, It says, these, that is those who do not obey the gospel from verse 8, those who reject the gospel, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. This is not the word apolemy. This is a different word. Alethros, alethros. The penalty of eternal destruction. They suggest that destruction, eternal destruction, means you're destroyed forever. You go out of existence. That is not what this word necessarily means. 1 Corinthians 5:5 uses the same word, and it says, I have decided, speaking of a sinner in the church, a professing believer sinning in the church, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit may be saved. Well, obviously, it's not the annihilation of his flesh. He's not a disembodied spirit who then, in a disembodied state, would become saved. So the destruction of the flesh means some kind of devastation, but does not necessarily mean annihilation. Furthermore, in this verse, verse 9, these pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, which means that they are placed somewhere away from God. It can't mean the annihilation of a person's physical body in 1 Corinthians 5:5, and it doesn't mean the annihilation of the person's soul and body here, because it refers to a place where they will be away from God. So I'm just saying they have a hard time trying to make their case with words. With words. Perhaps a verse that'll pull it all together is 1 Timothy 6:9. The last chapter of 1 Timothy, it says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation, we know this verse, and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now, do you think that means absolute annihilation, non-existence? No, what it's saying is that if you get yourself in a situation where you want to get rich, you're going to be trapped in temptations and snares. They're going to lead you to foolish and harmful desires, which will plunge your life into total ruination. Not annihilation. By the way, ruin here in 1 Timothy 6:9 is alethros, and destruction comes from the verb apolemy. So both the words are used here to refer to something other than annihilation. So some of these texts, if you connect the dots, we would conclude this. Both these words mean the ruin of someone for useful purpose or function. The ruin of someone for a useful purpose or function, the ruin of a wineskin, the ruin of food that perishes, the ruin of a life destroyed by the love of money and the temptations that come with it for any useful purpose, a soul ruined, a soul destroyed as to its usefulness, not its existence. That's why I said this morning, and I say it again tonight, hell is viewed best and most clearly by the Greek word Gehenna, which is a word that comes from the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom, just east of Jerusalem and a little bit south, I've been there many times, is the place in ancient times where the city dump was, and it was a never-extinguished burning fire. And it became the metaphor for the lake of fire, for hell. You threw whatever was useless into the trash, into the fire. When I was a kid growing up, everybody in my neighborhood had an incinerator. We had an incinerator.
Wait a second. Is John MacArthur using a personal anecdote? What is that? Oh, it's Sunday night. Never mind. He can do that.
Before smog. There were no trash trucks. We burned everything in an incinerator in the back of the house. Everything that was useless, everything that was to be discarded. And it seemed that it was always burning day after day. A soul forever ruined for usefulness to God, a spoiled, marred image, we talked about that this morning, is thrown into the everlasting trash heap, the burning fires of Gehenna or hell. That's what those words are talking about, not annihilation. You cannot make that case from Scripture.
Indeed. It is the Bible that ultimately determines how long is hell. And while the answer to us feels like it should be annihilation, the Bible is emphatic because of the character and the nature of God that our offenses are so infinite, they are so eternal, they demand an eternal punishment. And that is what the church has always understood and should continue to defend, despite how trendy conditionalism might presently be. This is Wretched Radio.